Could we all stand? Amen. Just want to greet and welcome everyone in the precious and worthy name of our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ to extend a special welcome to all the invited guests as we have gathered to witness this special occasion, the marriage of our precious brother Frankie and our beloved sister Rhonda. Amen. Just to set the atmosphere right, just want to sing a couple of choruses. Can you join me in this chorus? Singing, I love you, Lord. Join in and sing from all the depths of our hearts.
Sing, I love you, Lord. Sing, I
think that this today is such a special moment for Brother Frankie and Sister Rhonda. I'd like to sing this little chorus, to God be the glory for the things that He has done. Let's all join in.
To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory.
Just before you take your seats, just have a little announcement to make. Could the driver 01651 just report to any one of the ushers by the door? Your car needs to be moved. You may well be seated. At this point in time, I'd like to invite Brother Anthony Weeks to step forward and sing for us a special. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the flood drown it.
There are so many people in the world today don't really know what true love is. Many have searched the whole wide world and they still can't seem to find it. But love is patient, love is kind, true love can never be broken. Love bears all things, love suffers long. Love is God and God is love. But how can you have true love without having Him? Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Whosoever God joined together, let no man put asunder. Therefore shall a man leave mother and father and cleave unto his wife. Then they shall be no more twain, but they shall be one. Then he'll love his bride as Christ the church, who gave it himself for it. For no man yet hated his flesh, but loveth and cherisheth it. Love is God, and God is love, who is the King. But how can they know true love without knowing Him? Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Whosoever God joined together, let no man put asunder. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Many waters cannot quench love, neither can the floods drown it. Whosoever God joined together, let no man put asunder. Whosoever God joined together, let no man put asunder.
Amen. Shall we all stand this evening? We're going to bow our heads and close our eyes with a word of prayer. I'm certainly thankful for each and every one of you that could come. Most thankful for our Lord Jesus Christ, who promised to be here. We know that He's here amongst us this evening. Same as He was in that wedding at Cana in Galilee. In that wedding, He did something special. We're trusting that He certainly would do something very special for us this evening. This time we want to bow our heads and close our eyes as we look unto Him in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, how thankful we are this evening, dear God, to have this glorious opportunity to come and witness this marriage ceremony between our precious brother and our sister. Through Your divine working in their lives, You have brought them together. And this is a moment that they look forward to, made great plans. Now this great moment has arrived for them, Father. And dear God, we realize even at this stage we are helpless without You. You are our most important guest here today. We ask that Your great and rich and precious blessings would be upon them as they come to be united together. We ask, dear God, a blessing upon their congregation, all the friends and families. Lord, all who has been invited to celebrate this occasion with them. We pray that Your Holy Spirit would do something special today to make it a memorable one for us all, that we will long remember this day, and especially Brother Frank and Sister Rhonda. Lord, they would
so look back at this day as such an important day in their lives with a heart full of appreciation and thanks for what you will do for them today. We know that you have blessed them, Lord, and you've led them and you've undertaken for them in all their plans. And now they've come to this sacred moment, this sacred time, where they're looking forward that your great divine blessing will be pronounced upon them. We pray, dear God, that there will be nothing to hinder today. We pray that your Holy Spirit will lead us and guide us in what should be said and done. And may it bring honor and glory to you, and may you touch every heart and cause us, Lord, to love you a little more and to be closer drawn to you. We commit this little service into your hands, asking your divine leadership and guidance now. In the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we pray and ask these things. Amen. Before you have a seat, I would like to read a couple of portions of scripture out of the book of Revelation. One is found in Revelation chapter 19, and the other one is found in Revelation 21. And if you don't have a Bible, just give me your undivided attention for a few moments. We're not going to be long, but we want the time that would be spent here this evening to be one that would be glorifying to our Lord Jesus Christ. It would be the opportunity to share these few sacred moments with our brother and our sister, the relative of many of you and your close friends, that they had it in mind that you'd be here to celebrate this occasion with them, and that it would mean something to them and it would mean something to you before we leave. Revelation 19 verse 7 says, "Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, Write, blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true saints of God." Also in Revelation 21, verses 1 and 2, and then verses 9 to 11. "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And there came unto me one of the seven angels, who had the seven vials full of the seven last plagues. And he talked with me, saying, Come here, I will show thee the bride, the Lamb's wife. And he carried me away in the spirit to a great and high mountain, and showed me that great city, the holy Jerusalem, descending out of heaven from God, having the glory of God. And her light was like a stone most precious, even like a jasper stone, clear as crystal. May the precious blessings of our Lord Jesus Christ be upon his word and upon us all. You may have a seat. We want to make everyone feel welcome here this evening. This is a joyous occasion. And we're certainly happy to have all of you that is here. And no doubt, maybe some might be in the way still, and some may be over at the place of the reception. But before we would come to the main event, which is the ceremony itself, we just want to speak a few words, maybe 10 or 15 minutes, just to create the atmosphere and maybe put a little feeling in our hearts. You know, when you do things without feeling from your heart, it's like formal, it's just a routine. But when we could enter into the spirit of what is happening and participate and be not just an onlooker, but feel in our hearts we are part of the event that is taking place here this evening. Because I believe so many other people could have really been invited to this occasion. But times like these, people love to share them with people that, you know, is special to them. who had been an integral part in the life somewhere along, who they have had an experience with, who might have looked forward to the time when they were going to be married, and who might have given some word of advice somewhere along the line, who might have prayed for the person, might have been a close friend in life's journey thus far. And no doubt when the final selection was made, we all were part of it by the grace of God, of which we are very thankful here this evening. Because there are many good things in store, and have all being done in a way that we could enjoy it. It wasn't just so much that we could be here, but that we could enjoy being here. That we could enjoy being witnesses. That we could enjoy being part of what is happening. That when we leave to go to our homes, we could be leave filled with good food and good things to drink and good conversation, and our spirits lifted up by the great thing that has happened here. Our hearts and lives can be touched in a special way. That even we who are married, and maybe some who are not yet married, you know, their lives could be touched in a special way by the word of God and by what will transpire that would cause us to take a closer look at our families and our wives with their husbands, and those who are planning to be married soon, that they would look upon it as the way God looks upon it. And what we are trying to hold before you this evening is to see what God has in mind. Bible tells us something about the Lord Jesus Christ, that he's the same yesterday and today and forever. So behold, I'm God and I change not. So it means that if he instituted a marriage, it was his first institution in the beginning. He had a purpose for doing it. He had a way for doing it. He was the first one that selected his son's wife. He designed her. He knew his taste. He designed the earth. He designed the Eden, the beautiful creation that he was going to give his son to have rulership over. Because he had made a son in his own image and his own likeness. He knew what he would like. And, you know, right there, God was laying out certain characteristics about the family life, about the role of the head of the family, about the role of the father. And that is a strain that has come down for 6,000 years upon the face of the earth and should be evident in every true family that considers themselves a family. And it's really a beautiful moment. And as we think about it, the scripture we have read, you know, things have changed so much because the world is changing continually. It's a time of great restructuring and everything is changing shape. And new cultures are being created and traditions are being disintegrated. And the society is changing continually. And what might be looked upon as something sacred and, you know, it should be approached with reverence and respect and might take great planning and consideration and, you know, enter into it prayer is no longer being approached in that manner anymore. Because the values have changed. The tastes of people have changed. In a very subtle manner, people have been made to think different. People now, you know, have been made to think, you know, of the style of dressing, the choice of food. This age, everybody's talking about health foods and everything else. It's a time when, you know, fashions are changing continually. Homes, everything, the society is changing. The system is changing. But as we look back in the Word of God and the God who does not change, and the God who when he made something and laid it out there, he said it was good. And the God who we know is perfection. Because he himself was the one who made man perfect to begin with. That at one time the man he made truly reflected him. The creation that he created, the characteristic of the creator was so evident. You could tell it was the handiwork of God. That you look at it, you receive inspiration to praise God for it. You look at a sunset, it thrills your heart. You look at a sunrise. You see the rain falling and bringing life to the earth and the trees. And you see on the inspiration in the Bible, in the Psalms, different places, how David would cry out and praise God for his creation and all these things. But as the society changed and we are human life becomes so necessary to be centered around the city for work and for school and everything else. We are being taken away from nature. And we are being taken away from all what God created. Until God himself becomes something we put on a shelf sometimes. Becomes a little tradition. Something that we observe on holy days. And, you know, it makes me think this evening that here we're having this wedding in such a humble place, but the place is not so important this evening. The people that occupy the building right now is so much more important than the geographic location and the physical structure of the building. And then so much more we all like to do things in a way that with taste, with a certain amount of dignity. And here you find that we have come this evening, we have dressed, and some of us, by the grace of God, have been blessed to have the substance to provide new clothes and different things for the occasion. But at the same time, what is in our hearts is even more important. As Jesus said, the life is more than the body, and the body is more than the raiment. And then what is happening, what it means to Brother Frank and Sister Rhonda, if they could have, they could give us an invitation and they could try to let us know they appreciate us to be here this evening. But they cannot set our hearts in the attitude that they may like us to be in. If they could have done that for us too, then they would have made us just all so right there, centered on the Lord and the goodness and, you know, the prayer in our hearts, which I believe by the grace of God, if they can do it for us, God can do it for us. And we have come in that kind of attitude. Because there are so many unhappy faces today in the world. There are so many unhappy homes in the nation. There are so many delinquents in the street because of broken homes. There is so much selfishness in people that is the cause and the root of these things many a times. There is so much people ignorant of God's word that has us in such a darkness most of the times. But as we would spend these few moments and speak about God's word a little bit, that our hearts could be in such an attitude that they could know that the most honored guest, that the one they expected to be here to bless their union, did truly come and did pronounce that blessing. That when the time comes and they face the difficulties in life, which life is so full of difficulties, as Job says, a man that is born of a woman is furious and full of trouble. And the man who said was one of the richest men on the face of the earth, with all the conveniences of life for that day. Man of great honor and great statesman in his time. But yet he was such a wise man, and he knew that, as the Lord Jesus said, happiness and life does not consist in the abundance of what we possess. But it's moments like these that makes the great difference in our life. It's times like these that give us the strength to go for many, many miles and travel for many years. And places like this that we can look back to and see that what took place was entered in upon prayerfully. And that the presence and the blessing of God was there. And what was done from the depth of the heart in spirit. Because today, you know, Hollywood have changed the world. Whether we want to accept that or not. They have fashioned and cultured the taste and the thinking of this generation. And until everything in the world today that's being done is a show. When it's being done to be a show, a presentation, a great extravaganza, a spectacle. It must please the crowd. If the crowd is not pleased, it must catch the attention of the people. It must, you know, leave a good impression upon the minds of the people. And many times that takes away from the sincerity and the sacredness from what a true wedding should be. You know, I remember some years ago they were having this great wedding, the royal wedding, Princess Diana and Prince Charles and Oh my, months and months ahead, every magazine, every newspaper, it was published around the world. It was carried by every major newspaper and magazine. Pictures all over. You see all the young women begin to come out with the hairstyles afterwards, looking at Princess Diana everywhere and begin to, you know, draw and pull inspiration from it. And then the other stories begin to follow just within a year or two afterwards. So you realize then that what thrills people many times is just the show of things. What catches the eye is just the great presentations. But the God that we are thinking about this evening is one who dwells in humility. Who looked at a flower one day and said, Solomon in all his glory wasn't arrayed like one of these. Because that flower had real life. The glory, the beauty of that flower was real life. A scientist couldn't make it. They couldn't weave it in some garment industry. It was weaved by the master's hand. But the glory that Solomon had was temporal and was fine clothing and all these different things. But the Lord looked at the little lily of the valley. And as we think of him, because he's the one that brought about this. He's the one whose love could bind their hearts as one. He's the one who could give them the strength to face the problems of this life, to establish a real Christian home and raise a Christian family that would bring glory to his name and would walk in their footsteps as Christians, their lives being an example reflecting Christ. And you think of when they're having this great show in those royal weddings, you know, they have all the special designers and all the brand names and, you know, all the special photography effects and all the fine foods by the most renowned caterers and all the special programs that they have to celebrate the occasion and to entertain the guests. And then you have the media to play it up as a dream come true, a great romance story. That when they walk down the aisles, they're going to live happily ever after. They're going to be better roses. But we know that we're not living in a dream world. And we know life is hard. And the world is becoming a very evil place. And it's going to take the grace of Almighty God, especially with the divorce courts overrun with broken marriages, especially the streets filled with delinquent children from broken homes. It takes courage to walk up the altar here this evening. Great courage. When many people, for fear, they just begin to live common law. They begin to choose a different lifestyle, pick up different ideologies and try to remove the guilt from the conscience. Hollywood, it have just killed the spirituality of the true meaning of what a marriage ceremony ought to reflect. But the Bible tells us that the husband reflects Christ and the wife the church. And it's a great mystery of Christ in the church. There is something that they understand that causes them to function within the God-given role and fulfill that role with the God-given nature and personality that God gives them to fulfill that responsibility. And not try to usurp the authority of one another, but be willing and contented to know each other's place. The Bible says the wife being in submission to her husband, the husband dealing with the wife according to knowledge. To think that in this hour, God could take these great divine truths that might be in the hearts of gray-headed men and reveal it to young people and make it real and let them know what the responsibility is, what they have to be faced with. And as we get ready to come to this marriage ceremony, you know, it never ceases to amaze me how each wedding, there's always something different about each wedding. It's a wedding, but each one is different. It starts different, something happens different, the bride comes in different, she looks a little different, there's something there. And, you know, each one carries the personality. It reflects something. This one wants the dress in this particular style or this type of cloth, and You know, it just adds such a beauty of spirit. It reflects the spirit of the ones that is coming to be married. And that was my thought, you know, because I'm thinking here about the marriage of the Lamb is come. Today the world has changed. A lot of emphasis on the bride. But the Bible says the marriage of the Lamb is come. The great climax of the wedding was, behold, the bridegroom cometh. When Jesus told the parable of the bridegroom coming, and all the virgins trimmed the lamps and went out because the bridegroom was in the scene now. Because we're all speaking of our great bridegroom, the Lord Jesus Christ, amen, who will descend from glory to come and take his church away. Amen. And the Bible says, and his wife hath made herself ready. It's a great responsibility to be made ready for a wedding. But what is really being made ready for the wedding? Another scripture we read here says, John says, as I saw this new Jerusalem, holy city coming out of heaven. Man built all the cities on earth, but this was coming out of heaven. He said it was prepared as a bride. It was adorned. See, she was adorned for her husband. And I happen to think of that. How does she make herself ready? She adorns herself for her husband. Oh, it's not what it seems to say, Gail, this will look good. I'll have to consult my husband. Amen. Oh, this may, I see someone in a book here, and this is how that I'll ask my husband if that pleases him. Bible says she adorned herself for her husband. Something's going to happen here this evening. She came in here as Rhonda Edmond, but she'll not go back out as Rhonda Edmond. He came in here as Frank Jacob, but he'll go back out as Frank Jacob. This is not male chauvinism. This is God's word. Bible says, and her desire shall be for her husband. Because there is something unique about a woman. There is not one female in the entire creation of Almighty God that has been endowed with the character that God has given to a woman. She's the only female of the entire creation that can commit adultery. That can commit adultery, rather. All the females in God's creation have a season for mating. But when God made a woman, he made her without a season. In the natural creation, God made the male horse more beautiful than the female horse. He made the male peacock more beautiful than the female peacock, the peahen. He made the rooster in the yard. Look at the big deer with all the big antlers and everything else. Watch it. It's nature. But when it comes to the human race, he designed them a little different. And all the creation, he made them male and female. But when it came to man, the woman was in the man unexpressed. Because God looked and said, it is not good for Adam to be alone. Then God put him to sleep. She was not in the original creation. She was a byproduct from the man. When God got to make the woman, he took part of the man to make the woman. He didn't take some more material from the earth. He took part of the man. And when he took, he didn't take from his head for she to rule over him. He didn't take from his foot for him to make her his slave. But he took from the side, on the left side, because medical science will tell you there's one rib left, less on the left side. Right close to his heart where she could be a help meet unto him. It didn't just say help mate, it said help meet. The right kind of help. She's being designed to meet certain needs in that man's life. Because God saw it's not good for the man to be alone. Oh, it's such a beautiful thing. We don't have time to spend on it, but just to make a few comments that our hearts could really and minds could really be in that channel by the grace of God. But just to take 2 more minutes to speak about the dress. Prepared as a bride, adorned for a husband. Not every day a woman is wearing a wedding dress. Such great effort is going to picking out the right style. Such great pains and time is going to choosing the right type of material. Then the selection of the seamstress. Then the right fit that you want. Then all these things, because it is so important, it is so meaningful. And in maybe in our other type of clothing, we don't be that specific. You know, dressing, there's all kind of dress. There's like civilian clothes, what we call civilian clothes. Normal clothes, everyday clothes, our work clothes, have going out clothes, Sunday best, different type of clothes. But then clothing is far beyond that. Yeah, people who wears a specific type of clothes, like uniforms. You know, like for the nursing profession, you can look at a uniform and say, that's a nurse. You say, that's a policeman. You say, that's a fireman. That's a soldier. See? You say, that's a naval officer. See? Or you say, that's a priest. There are clothes that identifies an office. Because there is, the clothing is not just made to cover the body, it's designed with a certain amount of symbolism within the design, because it speaks something, it's a voice saying something. And that is exactly what the bridal dress is all about. And if I could drive that in here this evening and just come right to the wedding ceremony, it's going to be worth it all, because we stand here today and every photograph will show that bride with that veil, with that dress, exactly there. The audio recording will pick up exactly the music, the bridal march. Here comes the bride coming right in. You'll hear them pick up the voice when it's played back of the song leader saying, stand to your feet, give respect, give honor. Here comes that bride. She takes her place and everything else. And she's wearing the clothes that she has chosen, because she wants to be dressed that way as a bride. She wants to be adorned for her husband. She wants to convey to her dress, to her clothes, in this ceremony. It's a ceremonial dress. Speaking out a message, song. She didn't come in red, she didn't come in yellow or blue or mixed a series of colors. She came in white. Because the white speaks the purity of the bride of Christ. The color was specific. White is the original color. Every other color came by a breaking of chemistry into the original color. That's why I mix colors and get different colors and so on. But that original color was white, representing the purity of the church of the living God. And then the gown that she's covered with, she didn't come with a mini or a halter or something of that design, but she came covered, because it speaks of the bride of Christ covered with the beautiful gown of his promised word, his precious word, that God has covered his church within this hour. The only covering to keep her free from sin, to keep her unspotted from the world. Different from every other woman inside this building this evening, her head is covered. Because other women have already been married and they decided their husbands. But she's coming this evening to be joined to the man who's going to be her husband, the father of her children. And she comes with a veiled face. And many people do that, but they don't know why they do it. But it comes from the Bible. It's because it speaks that she has no head of her own. She's coming to her head. That's why she's going to forfeit her name and take his name this evening. And he will be her head. And then there's going to be the time when the rings will replace a token, a sign. Now that when she wears that ring, she belongs to someone. And then the vows that she would solemnly vow to means that all that has been vowed is symbolized in that ring. And then they go out here, joined, and then they go forth to the marriage supper, because the Bible talks about the marriage of the Lamb is come, and blessed are they who are called unto the marriage supper. Right now in the marriage, we believe in here to go to the marriage supper. And let me tell you, there's a marriage supper, same way there's preparations made here for the wedding, there's preparations made for the wedding supper. Amen? Right now, spiritually we are feeding, we're going to feed physically over there, and then they go to the honeymoon. All the things in the Bible, Christ is going to have a great honeymoon with his church. Not only that, he's going to have a future home, a new city coming down where he's going to live in. Oh, all these things. God instituted it because God intended it to reflect a great mystery in his heart that he has unfolded down through these years for his people. What a beautiful thing it is when he calls us close to him and allows us to see what this life on this earth is all about, what our homes and our families ought to be, where we can look and take inspiration from, and where we can reflect him, knowing that we are truly manifesting the purpose that our marriages were intended for. Blessed be his wonderful name. At this time, we have a little song as we get ready to change over to get to the marriage ceremony. At this time, his missing rib has been restored. And that's what this song speaks of. And I trust as we enter in this evening, it could be like it was when God instituted that first marriage in the Garden of Eden. He himself performed it. And his great Holy Spirit will just cover us here in this place. And this song will just speak truly of what is happening here this evening.
It was some thousand years ago in the beautiful Garden Eden when God made man and placed him over the earth to have dominion. But he saw man was alone. He had no one to share his throne. So God put man into one of his ribs close to his heart, with which he called his bride, his missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in bride form. His bride is now all dressed in white. A veil she has put on. She's come to stand at the side of him whom she was taken from. His missing rib has been restored. His missing rib is in right form. This bride veil she has put on. She's come to stand at the side of him whom she was taken from. His missing rib. His missing rib is in right form. His missing rib.
Amen. His missing rib has been restored. Now the marriage ceremony could take place. How could you get married without your rib being restored to you? Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Out of Ephesians chapter 5, in God's holy word, it says,
Wives,
submit yourselves
unto your own husband as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything.
Husbands,
love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it,
that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word,
that he might present it to himself a glorious church,
that having spot or wrinkle or any such thing,
but that it should be holy and without blemish.
So ought men love your wives as their own
bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we
are members of his body,
of his flesh and of his bones.
For this cause
shall a man leave his father and mother,
and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh.
This is a great mystery that I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless,
let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself. And the wife, see that she reverence her husband. Who will I ask for this
woman to be bride to this man? Dearly beloved,
we have gathered here in the face of this company,
in the presence of God,
joined together in holy matrimony, this man and this woman,
which is honorable as declared by Saint Paul among all men. It is therefore not by any to be entered into unadvisably or lightly, but reverently, discreetly, advisably, soberly, and in the fear of Almighty God.
In this holy state, these two persons present come now to be joined. If there is anyone here that can show a just cause why they should not be lawfully joined in this holy matrimony,
let them now speak or forever hold their peace. I will require and will charge you both. You will surely answer at the day of judgment, when the secrets of all hearts shall be disclosed, that if either of you know any impediment why you should not be lawfully joined together in this holy matrimony, do you now confess it,
or be it assured unto you that any persons that are joined otherwise than
God's word does allow, your marriage is not lawful.
But believing, you have duly considered this solemn obligation
you are about to assume, that you are prepared to enter upon the same
reverently, discreetly, wisely,
and in the fear of God, I shall propose to you
the marriage covenant.
You
all right?
You happy? You too?
You will declare the same on your right hand. Will you take this woman to be a lawful wedded wife, to live together in this holy state of matrimony? Do you promise to love, honor, and cherish in sickness and health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto her as long as you both live?
I do.
Will you take this man to be your lawful wedded husband, to live together in this holy matrimony?
Do you promise
to love, honor, cherish
in sickness and in health, riches or poverty, and will forsake all others and cleave thee only unto him as long as you both live?
I will
require a token of you, that this covenant between you that's been made will always be kept. Very beautiful ring, one for the bride, studded with diamonds, very beautiful, and one for the groom with gold and diamonds also, and initial upon it, very lovely. Now will you join your right hands together again upon the word of God? I want you to remember carefully that what you're about to one another is symbolized by the swing of the weight, memorial of that token of your love, eternal love, one for the other. Let us bow our heads and close our eyes. We pray. And may you, by the grace of Almighty God, have a prayer in your heart for them this evening. Almighty God, how great thou art, how wondrous are thy works. We continue to marvel each day as we see your great mystery unfold in humility, being revealed in simplicity in the lives of your children. They may not be the great celebrities of this modern age, but within their lives, in their bosom, they carry your spirit, Lord, a burning light. Their lives reflect in your word. Our brother Frank and sister Rhonda, whom you have drawn by your Holy Spirit into this relationship, they've come, Lord, and come to the stage of their courtship,
of their betrothal,
pledging the great love that they have in their hearts one for the other. Made many plans together, and now it's all to be capped off this evening. As they stand here, hands joined together, hearts joined, in thy divine presence, in the presence of all these witnesses. Oh God, we are thankful for such simplicity. But how great it is, dear God, to know we stand upon the foundation of your precious word. Your eternal word is that heaven will pass away, but not one jot or one tittle of my word shall in any wise fail. And if you abide in me and my word abide in you, you can ask what you will.
How that Christian sister said one time, expressing her
great faith in your word, she said, I'd rather be in the word of God than to be in heaven, because heaven is going to pass away, but the word of God will not pass away. So they stand today upon that unmovable foundation, Father, the eternal word of Almighty God. Lord God, as you have solemnly made these vows one to the other, with a heart full of love, with sincerity, knowing that they are in your presence, I pray, dear God, that you who instituted this marriage covenant way back in the Garden of Eden, when you joined the first man and woman together, down through the ages,
how that great mystery has continued to unfold
in the lives of your sons and daughters. And though times have changed, and though man have changed their ways, and though the world have become modern, and though all these things have, Lord, become something as a forgotten art, placed from way back as a historical relic or something, yet you have witnesses to prove that your word is still the truth. Hallelujah. You are still here to prove it in the lives of your sons and daughters. Dear God, I pray that you'd bless them and bless their union today. May it be like Boaz and Ruth, dear God. Lord, like Joseph and Mary. Lord, like Isaac and Rebecca, when you should join their hearts in love and you made it to be as one, dear God, and how they reflected that great heavenly bride and that earthly bridegroom. I so pray today, Father, that this marriage will continue to do the same, dear God. Lord God, in their community, there'll be a bright and shining light.
In the assembly where you have placed them here, to all their friends and relatives and to all their workers, oh God, Father, they would see such an example of Christianity,
such an example of a true Christian marriage, dear God, and their lives would bring glory and praise and honor unto you. Lord God, we know the divorce court is so filled and overrun with broken marriages today, but we pray it will not be so with this, Lord. For, Lord, as is written in your word, what shall separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus? Shall famine or pestilence or tribulation or persecution or things past or things to come or things present? Lord, for it is written there's neither height nor breadth nor length nor depth. Oh God, nor principality nor powers. Lord, nor anything that could separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. So I pray that would be such a reality that very word will be interpreted in their lives, dear God. And as they go to make their home, your great holy blessings will be upon them. You'd grant them a fruitful union, dear God. And Lord God, you'd grant them a blissful home. And you'd grant them, Lord God, a fulfillment, Lord, of all that their heart is designed in their Christian life, in their home, in their marriage. And as they go on forth until you come, their lives be a bright, shining example of thy precious word in this hour. Grant these things, we pray. As we ask thy richest blessing upon this union of our brother Frank and Sister Rhonda. Oh God, may your great Holy Spirit fill their hearts afresh with that divine love and overshadow them now, Lord, and cause their heart to beat as one. Oh, we pray and ask this together in the almighty name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Just let it be sealed.
Amen.
Let it be kept open, sealed. Such precious moments. It was made to only be done once. Blessed be his wonderful name.
Now kiss the bride.
The first time a man or a kiss woman is going to lift that veil off her face.
Amen.
God bless you. You're married. Whatever God joins together, let no man put asunder. You may have your seat as we
want to have a little time here to
sign this marriage certificate. We don't have much space here, but we're going to make it what we have. Maybe this time we're going to have a little song. We're going to get the three peaks. They're going to sing.
They have a song to sing when the bride leaves, but they're going to just sing
one right inside of here.
In the dust of the ground, a pearl of great price,
a jewel
for my crown. So gentle looking alone, but a jewel on the spine, such a jewel. Rock of ages that shelter her beauty,
her character is undefined.
And she is my bride. She is my virtuous wife.
I suffered much pain before I could take my place. She was chosen long ago to get my name. We shared years of intimacy. She was the great mystery. She's flesh of my flesh and bone of my bone. It's written, blessed is the man who can find a virtuous wife. In a time when the daughters of men appear, but what is beauty without character anyway? Just vanity. Sons of God, turn your eyes away from that wild stare. Look for the virtues of sacred motherhood. A meek and quiet spirit, which is precious in the sight of the Lord. And such virtues you can only find in the daughters of God, who like Leah and Rachel, did bring forth sons and daughters of God to bless His holy name. When you have found such a woman, then you can truly say,
the evening being here. As you leave, we're going to be going over to the marriage supper, the reception at Chinese Association on St. Anne's Road. We're just going to ask God blessing and dismissal. Let's bow our heads with a prayer. Almighty God, we are so thankful for your grace and your blessings upon us this evening. What was said and done, how we appreciate you, Lord, for being here and the wonderful moments that we have shared with our brother and his wife. We pray, dear God, as we leave this place to go to the marriage supper, your Holy Spirit will go with each and every one of us. There'll be no accidents. We'll take us safely. The time that we spend over there feasting and rejoicing, Lord, it will be a wonderful and enjoyable time for each and every one that is here. May you grant these things we ask, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I would like you just to be witnesses as they go out, as they sing, there are songs as they go out, and the photographers may take a few pictures, and then you can leave. God will bless you. Thanks for being here.
Sit with him as we upon his throne.